Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, February 16, 2017. We'll start with a story titled Chicago Teens Arrested After Casey's Carjacking in Danville. Two Chicago teenagers are in police custody after allegedly hijacking a vehicle Wednesday at an East Side gas station. According to a press release from Criminal Investigations Commander Josh Webb, officers responded around 10 a.m. Wednesday on a report of a carjacking at the Casey's gas station in the 800 block of East Voorhees Street. A woman at the scene told police a black male had taken her 2015 Jeep Cherokee at gunpoint, according to Webb. She also told officers the suspect had gotten out of a dark-colored 2011 BMW SUV prior to stealing her car, Webb continued. After searching the area, police located both vehicles in the Holiday Hills neighborhood. The cars then fled the scene as officers pursued. Police followed the cars north out of Danville, Webb said, and the BMW SUV eventually pulled over outside of Rossville. Officers took a 16-year-old male driver into custody and then learned that the BMW had been stolen out of Chicago. As police continued their pursuit of the stolen Jeep Cherokee northbound, Webb said the stolen car crashed at 1300 East and 4000 North Roads outside of Hoopston. Officers then took a 17-year-old male driver into custody and recovered a firearm at the scene. Both subjects were taken into custody, listed Chicago addresses, Webb said. He added their names or booking photos will not be provided since they are juveniles. Danville police continue their investigation into the incident. No further information was available Wednesday. Anyone with information regarding this or other crimes are asked to call Danville Police at 431-2250 or contact Vermilion County Crime Stoppers at 446-TIPS. Next story is titled Learning Experience, Body Walk Intrigues Children, written by Carol Roem in Danville. And there's a picture of volunteer Judy Petrus and Danville Area Community College nursing student Shelley Holt spritz water on Mallory Yonkinus on the far right, second grade students from Meade Park Elementary School. The children pretended to be stomach enzymes churning up food Wednesday during the Presence United Samaritans Medical Center's Body Walk event at Mark Denneman Elementary School. More than 400 area second graders from around Danville took a journey through the human body Wednesday at the Mark Denman Elementary School. Presence United Samaritans Medical Center's Body Walk visited the school for a one-of-a-kind learning experience with tours lasting throughout the school day. The elementary schools participating in Wednesday's Body Walk experience, in addition to Mark Denman School, were Danville Lutheran, Edison, Garfield, Meade Park, Northeast Magnet, Schlarman, and Southwest. Presence United Samaritans takes approximately 1,200 area second graders on the Body Walk adventure three times each year, once each in northern Vermilion County, in Danville, and in southern Vermilion County. The purpose of the Body Walk exhibit, which marks its 20th year, is to intrigue and educate youngsters. Kathy Richard, director of HALO Project, which coordinates the Body Walk with members of the Partners in Education Committee at Presence United Samaritans, said she expected 430 students to experience this year's Body Walk. 33 Danville Area Community College nursing students also helped with the event by educating the children about the functions of the body. During the Body Walk experience, each child pretended to be shrunk into a small particle and walked or crawled through a larger-than-life-size model of the human body. At one point, the children pretended to be stomach enzymes and climbed into a kiddie pool where they were spritzed with water and dodged sponges that represented the churning of food in the digestive system. They liked the stomach, Richard said. They liked jumping into the pool, getting spritzed with water, and churning up food. The Body Walk exhibit allowed children to learn about the body parts and functions, as well as visit 13 healthy living stations that provided information on proper nutrition, exercise, tobacco and smoking, dental care, eye health, and more. The students moved from station to station every 4 to 5 minutes, and it took about an hour for the children to go through the entire exhibit. We have a new station this year, Richard said. It provides information about sun and water safety. Some of the more creative displays in the body walk, however, featured dissected cow eyes sponsored by Chittick Family Eye Care and a set of pig's lungs. The purpose of the dissected cow eyes is to show how the eyeball works and to promote eye health. The pig lungs, sponsored by the Vermilion County Sheriff's Department, were inflated and deflated with a foot pump by Deputy Jay Miller and showed side-by-side a healthy lung and an unhealthy smoker's lung. The first set of pig's lungs from 20 years ago wouldn't inflate anymore, so a second pair of pig lungs was brought in for the display. Richards said those two exhibits, which children initially find gross, usually end up being their favorites. It's a toss-up between these two, she said. Another exhibit that's become popular is the Rethink Your Drink display. This is the second year we've done Rethink Your Drink, and the children always say wow when they look at all the sugars that are in their drinks, Richards said. The children also learned about bones, with DACC students showing children x-rays, such as one with a quarter in a stomach and another with a broken bone. Employees and volunteers from several departments of the Medical Center, the HALO Project, and the community worked at this event with the help of Danville Area Community College nursing and radiology students, the Vermilion County Sheriff's Department, Chittick Family Eye Care, at the office of Dr. Randall Ashton, and Keep Vermilion County Beautiful. Next story is titled City Faces Stormwater Funding Questions, written by Jennifer Bailey in Danville. More than 3,200 tons of leaves and debris were collected by the city's street sweeping last year. Almost 1,900 tons of yard waste was collected and composted last year. Approximately 5,000 linear feet of storm sewers lines were cleaned last year. These are just some of the statistics as part of the 6 minimum control measures the city is required to meet as part of its stormwater management program. The city conducted a public hearing Tuesday night on its stormwater management and permitting program. The city's general national pollutant discharge elimination system, known as NPDES permit, is an MS4 permit. MS4s are municipal separate storm sewer systems, stormwater collection systems that are separate from the sanitary sewer system. The MS4 program is designed to reduce the amount of pollution entering local waterways, Danville Creeks, the Vermilion River, and Lake Vermilion. Controlling pollution helps ensure clean water and healthier environment for humans and wildlife. The city must fulfill conditions of the permit required by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency and issued by the Illinois EPA each year. Tuesday night's public meeting was part of the city's public participation and involvement, Danville Engineering and Urban Services Director David Schnell said. The city also must meet control measures of public outreach and education, illicit discharge detection and elimination, construction site runoff control, post-construction runoff control, and pollution prevention and good housekeeping. Resident Vince Kors at Tuesday's Public Works meeting said the city needs to find funding for the stormwater master plan. It's time to fund it and make it happen, he said. City officials have indicated they will be discussing it if the timing is right to fund and begin implementation of the stormwater master plan. Storm sewers are filling at a rapid pace and are putting a strain on the city's general fund. Also Tuesday, the Public Works Committee, Schnell said the agreement is being extended until such funds become available. Mayor Scott Eisenhower said there's not much movement on funding. The IDNR suspended the contract in June of 2015 because the state funding appropriation was not reappropriated for the state's 2016 fiscal year. The agreement states the IDNR and the City of Danville wish to continue with the project should any state funding become available. The IDNR's funding obligation will terminate upon completion of the project or June 30, 2020, whichever comes first. Next story is titled Southview to Discuss Bullying at Event, written by Carol Roem in Danville. Students and staff at Southview Upper Elementary School will take a stand against bullying, starting with an event later today. Danville District 118 parents and community members are being encouraged to attend a Stand Up to Bullying event from 4:30 to 7 p.m. today in the school cafetorium at 133 East 9th Street in Danville. Southview Principal Mindy Spessard said the event will show that what the school has been doing to prevent bullying by educating students about character and how to build positive relationships. 80% of bullying isn't reported, and those are the ones with tragic consequences, she said. The reason bullying isn't reported, according to Spessard, is because the child doesn't want to be seen as a tattletale or doesn't believe anything will be done to stop the harassment. Spessard said she plans to explain the difference between bullying and teasing. If it's repetitive and hurtful, it's bullying, she said. The topics Spessard also will talk about are what to do if you're being bullied, what to do if you recognize yourself as a bully, and how to help children who have been bullied in the past. I also will touch lightly on cyberbullying, she said. After Spessard's presentation, the 2011 documentary Bully, which is an hour and a half long, will be shown to the parents and students. Popcorn will be served. The anti-bullying message won't end with tonight's event. Next week, on Friday, February 24th, Southview students will observe National Stand Up to Bullying Day by wearing hot pink t-shirts that read SVUE, Stand Up to Bullying. Spessard said the National Anti-Bullying Day was started by two high school students in 2008 after they witnessed a male student being ridiculed for wearing a pink shirt to school. So now every year, students wear pink shirts on that day, she said, adding the Anti-Bullying Day is actually observed globally in 25 countries with 125,000 students participating. In addition to wearing the hot pink SVUE shirts, Southview's 840 5th and 6th graders will make a video on February 24th while holding up signs that will reinforce the anti-bullying message. Spessard says she hopes that anti-bullying message will resonate with the students. Bullying ramps up this time of year and when kids can't get outside as much, she said. We need to let them know that any sort of harassment is not okay. Okay, now we'll run through the obituaries. Russell Russ Norman McDaniel, 63, of Westville, passed away at 6:10 a.m. on February 10th, 2017 at his son's home in Danville. Visitation will be held from 4 to 6 p.m. on Friday, February 17th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Cremation rites will be accorded following visitation. Memorials may be made to Bowl for Kids' Sake, Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Vermilion County, 100 North Franklin Street, Danville, Illinois, 61832. Carol J. Latos, 75, of Chrisman, passed away at 2:31 p.m. on Monday, February 13th at Grandview Manor in Danville. Memorial services at 3 p.m. on Thursday, February 16th at Robeson Chapel in Catlin with officiating pastor Paul Del Valle. Visitation from 2 to 3 p.m. on Thursday, February 16th at Robeson Chapel in Catlin. Burial at a later date at Crown Hill Cemetery in Ridge Farm. Memorials to Crown Hill Cemetery in Ridge Farm. Pamela Howard, 74, of Potomac, formerly of Westville, passed away at 6:30 a.m. on Tuesday, February 14, 2017, at her son's home. Visitation will be from 4 to 6 p.m. on Friday at Potomac Community Building. A Celebration of Life memorial service will be at 6 p.m. on Friday, February 17th at Potomac Community Building. Following the services, there will be a family gathering at the community building. Memorials may be made to Potomac American Legion or to Carl Hospice. The family has entrusted Blurton Funeral Home in Potomac to assist them in honoring Pamela's life. Lee Webster James, 83, passed away peacefully at Forest Creek Nursing Home in Indianapolis, where he had resided since December 16th. He died on Thursday, February 9th, of diabetes and dementia. A memorial service will be held 2:30 p.m. on Saturday, February 18th, at Hope United Church of Christ. The family will receive friends from 12:30 to 2:30 at the church. Burial will be at Embury Cemetery. Arrangements are being handled by Blurton Funeral Home in Potomac. In lieu of flowers, memorials can be made to Hope UCC, 23334 State Route 49, Armstrong, Illinois, 61812. James Nolan Stacker, Jimmy, 65, of Colorado Springs, Colorado, formerly of Danville, died at 3 a.m. on Wednesday, February 1st. In remembrance of Jimmy, a memorial service will be held at 1 p.m. on Monday, February 20th, at League & Sons Funeral Home, 304 East William Street, Danville, Illinois, 61832. Condolences and memorials may be sent by accessing the www.leaguesandsonsfuneralhome.com. Melvin L. Freed, 83, of Danville, passed this life to join our Heavenly Father on Monday, February 13th, at North Logan Healthcare Center in Danville. Visitation will be from 10 to 1 p.m. Saturday, February 18th, at Pape Family Funeral Home, with a prayer service following at 1 p.m., officiated by Reverend Stephen Loftus. Following services, Melvin will be entombed at Resurrection Catholic Mausoleum. And George Merman, George Henry Merman, passed away on Saturday, February 11th, at his home surrounded by his loving daughters. Services will be at Pape Funeral Home, 10 East William Street in Danville, on Friday, February 17th, with visitation from 11:30 to 1:30 and services at 1:30. The family is requesting that in lieu of other expressions of sympathy, a donation can be made in his honor to the Danville Mission or Danville's Humane Society. Juna Lee Milholland, 81, of Westville, died at 8:36 a.m. Tuesday, February 14th, at home. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. on Saturday at St. Mary's Catholic Church, 231 North State Street in Westville, with the Reverend Timothy Sopp officiating. Burial will be at St. Peter's and Paul Cemetery, Westville. Visitation will be from 10 to 11 a.m. Saturday at the church. Sunset Urbis Funeral Chapel, 414 South State Street in Westville, is in charge of the arrangements. Ralph E. Sater, 67, of Danville, died at 9:06 a.m. Monday, February 13th, at home. According to his wishes, cremation rites have been accorded, and a memorial service will be scheduled at a later date. Rortvert Funeral Services, 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton, is in charge of the arrangements. And David Jonathan Tables, having his dwelling place complete, was called to his eternal rest on Monday, February 13th. Funeral will be at 10 a.m. on Monday, February 20th, at the Rock Church in Danville, with Pastor Jeff Johns officiating. Visitation will be 2 to 6 p.m. on Sunday, February 19th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. Memorials may be made to King Kids Village, P.O. Box 1436, Danville, Illinois, 61834. Okay, the next story is titled Northridge Middle School. They have been so fun to watch. 8th grade boys basketball team looks to complete perfect run today. Written by Noel McGee in Danville. Ed Butler is scheduled to go under the knife this afternoon, but he said not even outpatient surgery for carpal tunnel syndrome will keep him from watching the Northridge Middle School's undefeated 8th grade boys basketball team try to bring home the state title this evening. "I may have to sneak off from the wife," the Danville resident said. Ridge Runner superfan said with a laugh. "I've been to most of their games in the regular season and the postseason, and I don't want to miss this. It's been a wonderful to see these young men play and do so well, not only for them, but for the school in Danville." The 27-0 team will take on Flossmoor Parker, which is 19-2, in the Illinois State Elementary School Association Championship game at 7:30 p.m. today in Urbana. The game will be broadcast live on WDNL 1490 AM with Mayor Scott Eisenhower on the microphone. "They have been so fun to watch," said Eisenhower, who called the team's last home game and attended 3 postseason games. "They've not only won, but they've won by big margins." It's the first 8th grade team from Danville to play for the state title. Principal Eliza Brooks said Northridge's record is remarkable considering this is the first year that members have played together on the same school team. Last school year, some members, including co-captain Tavon Smith, played on Northridge's 7th grade team, while others, including co-captains Devin Miles and Nathaniel Hoskins, played on Southview Middle School's team, which made it to regionals. That changed this year when the Danville School District restructured its K through 8th schools, sending all 7th and 8th graders to Northridge and all 5th and 6th graders to what's now called Southview Upper Elementary. Now we have all of the talent in one spot, Brooks said, breaking into a grin. These boys have worked hard and played hard, and that's not taking anything away from their talent and skills, she continued. But when they came together, it's just like a fist with a stronger punch. Eventually, they will all play together in high school. We just got it early. Some of the members, including the three co-captains, have been playing together on a summer traveling basketball team with Illinois Truth, an AAU program since third grade. They said that history helped them this season, but they attribute a lot of their success to first-year coach Aaron, pronounced Aaron, it's spelled A-Y-R-O-N, Worthington, who set four goals at the beginning of the year: be undefeated, win regionals, make it to state, and win state. He also taught them the game, kept them focused, and held them to his high expectations. I knew we could score, said Worthington, a 2009 Danville High grad and former Danville River Hawks player, but our focus was straight defense. I knew the key was stealing the ball and keeping opponents from scoring. Y'all's defense is sick, Brooks said, giving Smith, Miles, and Hoskins a fist bump. Worthington said he ran practices like games so they could run the plays when it counted. He also didn't hesitate to bench players during practice if needed. They don't like watching, he said. While some players received individual accolades, Smith was named best 8th grader player in the state. Worthington recognized Keyshawn Hampton, Thomas Reed, and Traviant Brigma for the most improvement. Throughout the course, they've improved in dribbling, scoring, and playing defense, and being the glue of the team that kept them together. Worthington, a teacher's aide at Southview, said he was most proud of seeing the players grow off the court. During the first couple of visits to Northridge, he saw several players slacking off in class. Some had gotten into a bit of trouble. That changed over the season. I got them to change their swag, he said, with a laugh. On return visits, they would be sitting in the front row, paying attention. We also talked about good sportsmanship. I told them if there was ever someone on the ground, you help them up because one day it might be you. You shake hands with every opponent, and if you don't, I will take you by the hand and you will shake their hand and apologize. Worthington said the team's fan base was small and mostly parents at the start of the season, but as the team started winning and he and others posted the victories on social media, the audience grew bigger. It wasn't just parents or staff, the principal said. There were people who don't even have kids in the district who were just there to support the team and the school and Danville and enjoy the game, and we appreciate every last one of them. Last Friday, Eisenhower read a proclamation declaring the next day, which was February 11th, Northridge Middle School 8th grade boys basketball team day at an all-school pep rally so heavily attended that some students had to sit on the floor. Today, students and staff will wear red, their school color, and Ridge Runner attire, and buses will take fans to the game. Brooks even bought more red pom-poms to hand out. Parents and other community members said bringing all 7th and 8th graders in the district has gone more smoothly than they anticipated. Having the team to get behind has only made them more unified. Before, it was always, you're from that school or that end, said Heather McMaster, whose daughter, Madison, is a 7th grader. Now, instead of being rivals, we're all one school. We're all Ridge Runners, Nathaniel said. Well, I'm running out of stories, so I'm going to read a guest editorial entitled Guest Editorial, Illinois Has the Wrong Legislature, Too Many Risks, Averse Polls. As a potential budget compromise moved through the Illinois Senate last week, a funny thing happened. Senators were forced to vote. Green button or red button? Choose. That was the idea behind Senate President John Cullerton's decision to put four bills up on the board, even though Republicans weren't ready. Many of the GOP leader Christine Rodagno's Republican members voted present as a form of protest against a controversial 12-bill package that, if passed, would go to the House. But by week's end, this inaction led to one conclusion. Illinois has the wrong legislature. Polls eager to curry favor with interest groups and to get reelected created the Illinois debacle. Citizen lawmakers who serve for a while and head home, not so much in Illinois. The capital has too many careerists afraid to risk their cushy part-time jobs. They keep index fingers poised upward, testing the winds. Note that Illinois has gone nearly 2 years without a full-year budget. The proposed package includes an income tax hike, a property tax freeze, more casino gambling, workers' compensation reform, government consolidation, legislative leader term limits, and an appropriation for the current budget year, which would finally put a blueprint in place. We've applauded the effort to break the impasse, but by protesting the first four bills, Republicans caused the entire package to stumble. Most notably, with the help of several twitchy Democrats, they shot down the only meaningful pension savings bill to reach the Senate floor in 3 years. If it could have limited the pensionable salaries of teachers, university workers, and lawmakers. State workers would be added later once they settle their contract dispute with Governor Bruce Rauner. The bill also would have stripped future lawmakers of receiving pensions. But it failed 18 to 29 with 10 present votes and a couple of members not voting at all. Another day of theater in Springfield, another day of wimpy votes. There were a few risk takers. Senator Pat McGuire, a Democrat from Union Heavy Joliet, voted for compromise. Organized labor, a key constituency in his district, lobbied heavily against the pension bill, but he voted for it anyway. Why? We need a budget, McGuire said. Union members need it too. To almost every question we asked about the bills, McGuire answered, "We need a budget." The way he sees it, the impasse hurts union members and their families too. Senior citizens who are losing half of their meal deliveries, disabled children on waiting lists for services, upheaval for those who rely on home health care as workers leave for better paying jobs, rank and file taxpayers, including union members who pay for all the dysfunction via high interest rates on state debt. By some estimates, the state digs itself deeper into debt by $14 million a day. The reasons to pass a budget, McGuire said, outweigh the reasons to keep objecting to it. Time's up, so he voted for all four compromise bills. Not many of his colleagues did, including at least one, Senator Mike Hastings, Democrat from Tinley Park, who didn't vote for any of them. A real profile is courage. Meanwhile, Republicans pressured by conservative-leaning groups to kill the whole package because they say it doesn't go far enough, took the safe route. They helped vote the compromise bills down. So while the 59 senators and 118 House members dawdle, companies decide not to further invest in dysfunctional Illinois. Credit agencies further downgrade state government. Residents poke for sell signs in their front yard. That's from the Chicago Tribune on Sunday. It's pretty true. Well, that pretty well wraps it up for today, Thursday, February 16th, 2017. Looks like it's going to be a great week. Temperatures are going to be up in the 70s, and it's February. I feel like I'm in Florida. I didn't get to go this year, so maybe I'll get happier here. Anyway, I hope you all have a good week, and take care, and I'll see you again next week. Bye.